Today we're going to be doing the 29th. This is a case of a Mizmor Tehillim that everybody knows. You all know how to sing it too. But the problem with things that we often say very frequently is that it kind of like just goes over our head. We don't even bother paying attention to what its meaning is. We just take it for granted. So I would, it's a small, relatively smaller one. And you will soon see why I've chosen this exactly a week after Chag HaShavuot. There are some, including Professor Yaakov Bazak, who in one book indicated that he believed that this Mizmor was a response to a cataclysmic storm that occurred in Israel. You know that Israel lays on a major fault line of an earthquake, and that there are occasions in which there is a rather terrific natural phenomenon that one can get in that area. You know that, for example, quakes underneath or volcanic activity under the seas would cause typhoons or other kinds of phenomena of this kind. So you will soon see that there might be something of this sort. In a later published article of his, he says, I've changed my mind, and I tend to concur that this is a recollection of a revelatory experience at Har Sinai. Now, Chazal tell us that this was sometimes said in Sukkot, and some say that this was a mizmor that was sung in Chag HaShavuot. We have various versions, and it's not a question of whether it was either or, but rather that it was probably both. We all know this because we say this when we put the Sefer Torah back into the ark. And that's when everybody stands up and sings this, and people stand when you say this. It is incredibly musical. And I could start using all kinds of technical, poetic, and musical terms, which will only fudge the issues. We're going to look inside and see what actually happens here that makes this rather exciting and fascinating. Let's look at this carefully. Mizmor le David. Havu la Hashem bnei elim. Havu la Hashem kavod va'oz. Havu la Hashem kavod shemo. Yishtachavu la Hashem behadras kodesh. You got that havu, havu, havu. It's called a strophe. And what that really means is that this is a device that is often used musically, in which you've got the choir picking up the theme. So you would have, perhaps, not merely rounds, but you would pick up on the Havu la Hashem, Havu la Hashem. You see that? Havu la Hashem, and then a variation. But you can almost hear where perhaps the choir would be saying Havu la Hashem, and then perhaps your soloist would continue, and then Havu la Hashem, and it builds up. It has a tendency to build up, and it builds up to a climax. Finally, Hishtachavu la Hashem behadrat kodesh. Later on, you will see something else. Again, we pick it up. Kol Hashem al hamayim. El kavod hirim, Hashem al maim rabim. Since I mentioned maim, somebody goes and one ups you one. Okay, we will go back and we'll discuss all of this. But first, I just want you to hear it. Kol Hashem bakoach, Kol Hashem bahadar, Kol Hashem shover ha'erazim. Ah, vayishaber Hashem et arzei Lebanon. Vayalkidem kimo egel Lebanon v'siryon kimo ben reimim. And then we pick up again. Kol Hashem chotzev lehavot esh. Kol Hashem yichil midbar. Yichil Hashem midbar kadesh. Kol Hashem yicholel ayalot v'yechasof geharot. Uvehichalo kulo omer kavod. And there it ends. And then you have your last part, which is going to become your conclusion. The name of Hashem appears just hey, that hey and little thing is how many times in this mizmor count?
One, two, 7.
You are reading it in 18, and that is correct. And Masechet Brachot tells us that this is the foundation of our liturgy called Shmona Esrei, the Amida. 18 blessings, 18 times saying Hashem Hashem. And hence the bowing. Okay? Your Amida begins with something. You will soon see the parallels. And it ends with Shalom. Mm-hmm. With peace. As does this one. Okay? You got the whole section there. All ends with this kind of thing. How many times does it say kol? How many do you have?
Seven,
of course. Of course. And how many days of the week? And seven times seven?
49
to come to the counting of Chag HaShavuot. You understand? Or the 7 days of Sukkot. You get that? That's why you have that kind of issue. And the sounds. And 7 days of creation. It is clear that somebody is observing or observed some incredible phenomenon. Something outstanding that brings him, if you like, to his knees. Almost as if God had shown his face. And as a result, when it opens, it begins to tell us, Havu la Hashem. Havu, have, means to give. Now, they'll often translate this as render to Hashem, a tribute to Hashem. Give it to him. Well, you don't give God anything because he doesn't need anything for you to give it to him, you understand?
That's right. Sure.
But if I say, give him what? Give him the credit. Give him the honor. Recognize where it comes from. That's why they're translating it in this fashion. In the final analysis, it is give. But what are you giving, and who are these Bnei Elim? Now, literally, sons of gods.
What was that? Who's that?
Elim, gods.
Oh, that's fine. That's just funny. Okay, sorry.
Bnei Elim, the sons of gods. Hence, the scholars throughout the ages, certainly in the last 200 years, some have argued that this has its roots in pagan liturgy. And so, therefore, you're asking all of the gods to somehow submit themselves to the big god. Okay? So you got the pantheon. Do you really think so? Do you really think so? Well, there have been some recent studies later on that have argued for its authenticity of its own. If there are similar types of songs of praise elsewhere, so be it. But not with this type of a structure. The structure here and the numerology here speaks to ours. Now, how many times does it say Havu? One, two, three. Therefore, Rashi tells us the Bnei Elim El, Ein La El Yadi, is powers. But it also can mean heroes. The sons of the heroes. And who are the sons of the heroes? Says Rashi. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And we are the sons of the giants of the earth. Havu la Hashem bnei Elim. He's calling us the sons of the heroes, the sons of the powerful ones, and three times, not once, but three times, to join with him. You see, you're having that triple kind of call. And that's why you have that strophe where you're, the choir is kind of like calling on everybody, come together. Now, you'll see that in Hallel, right? Hodu la Hashem ki tov ki leolam chasdu. And then everybody repeats it. Imru na yirei Hashem ki leolam chasdu. Yomru na, right? Bnei Aaron ki leolam chasdu. And you're repeating that kind of thing. You're inviting others to all join me in this. Lehavdil, you've got this kind of thing going on when you have cheering of your favorite teams. You've got your cheerleaders over there, right? And they call you out and they give you the letters. Everybody screams it out together. And they call out the team's, you know, logo or whatever it is that happens to be, right? That you've got here. You've got a rah-rah going on here. I'm asking him to cheer God. Havu la Hashem kavod va'oz. A tribute. Give it to him. Explain where it comes from. The kavod, honor, or the essence and the power. Sfono tells us, kavod is the fact that God created. It is the prime mover, the beginning of all beginnings. It is the essence from which everything came from. The power is continues to be apparent. In other words, he didn't just make it happen. He continues to lead it. And it is that force that continues to empower this world. Havu l'Hashem kvod shemo. Give him the honor of his name. You understand? Because we've just pronounced his name three times. And then, what is you're supposed to do? Hishtachavu. Bend down. Prostrate yourself. Bow in submission. Behadrat Kodesh, in this holy beauty. To some, this was, of course, the Beit HaMikdash. And that seems to be it. But now we're going backwards, and we're going to talk not merely about what we're supposed to do, because what we just did was we just cheered him. And that is us talking to him. Now we're going to talk about him talking to us. Where did we hear his voice? And that's why our sages tell us that this is recollecting both Har Sinai, when we were standing there and heard the voice, and Professor Bazak then goes back and says, Kol, that's when he draws the conclusion that maybe he made a mistake when he thought it was just a natural phenomenon. And he found out how many times the word Kol appeared in the book of Shmot. When it said that God appeared to us and there was fire and all of that occurred there, and he counted seven times the word kol, indicating, of course, that this is exactly what this author is doing for you here. He is taking that and bringing it here. And then where do I hear it? Kol Hashem al Hamayim. This was not merely something that happened then, because this is written in present continuous. It's something that happens now. So if you've been to Niagara Falls and you hear that rush of water, or if you've stood and seen the stormy ocean and seen it hit against the rocks, if you've ever heard the noise that a hurricane makes, if you've ever seen it filmed, as it begins to gather force, the voice of God is on the waters. Now, in his original book, Yaakov Bazak wrote that whoever was there was overlooking something like Rosh HaNikra at the northern part of Israel, where you've got the crashing of the sea coming against the rocks. And it was a stormy day, and he heard the sound of God, this incredible force of nature coming through. And that would be followed. Kel HaKavod Hir'im. This God of glory is thundering. So there was water first, interestingly. It's not thunder, lightning, and then rain. This is not about rain. This is about the sea becoming stormy, and you've got that tempest going on there, foreshadowing a storm, right? Because that water goes up, and then it comes back down. Hashem al Maim Rabim. It is God that is on this manifold of water, this abundance of water. So what you had is, first you've got the seas, then you've got the thunder, and next thing you know, you've got a torrent coming down. And he hears the voice of God in it. Kol Hashem Bakoach. I hear God in thee. Force, in that strength, in that wind, in that blowing tornado, and Kol Hashem Bahadar, And he hears God's voice in the beauty, in that thing that takes your breath away. When you're looking at the Grand Canyon, when you're seeing the sunset, when you're seeing, by the way, the sun's rays breaking through stormy clouds. I'm sure you've seen that. Something lifts you up and it kind of touches you in a place that you didn't even know. You don't even know why you are responding in the way that you're responding. Kol Hashem shover arazim. The sound of God breaks the cedars. The cedar wood is hard wood. And you can imagine now this storm. And we're, by the way, where sound waves themselves can shatter. Never mind lightning. The voice of God is breaking the cedars. So we're up north in Israel, right, where the cedars of Lebanon are growing. Vaishaber, and he shattered. Shiber is P-L. It's now not just a break, it is splintering. I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to see when lightning strikes what happens to a tree. Et arzea Lebanon, the cedars of Lebanon. So we're up there north. Vayarkideim kemo egel, and he makes them dance like a calf. Now there's something incredible that occurs in the springtime when calves or sheep are in the mating season and the young ones are there. They do something utterly ridiculous. They just leap. Antelopes do this. They just jump, jump, jump. And it's like they're in a dance. What is it that's dancing here, that's being shaken this way? He just talked about the trees are dancing like a young calf. You see, there's something much more going on. There's earthquake. Something is shaking them. And it's not merely the trees. Levanon, Visirion. These are, Sirion is the Syrian name for Har Hermon, the Hermon Mount. These mountains are dancing like Ben Re'emim, like the son of Ere'em. Ere'em is an undomesticated beef-like animal. It's like a water buffalo or a bison of sorts. It's got long horns. Kol Hashem Chotzev Lehavot Esh. The sound of God hit rocks and you split rocks. And as you split rock, because it's flint, what do you get?
Fire.
You actually get fire. Both from the lightning itself, as well as from the fact that when they break and hit one against the other, you've got these sparks. Kol Hashem Yachil Midbar. Now the word Yachil is Hifil, to make Chil. We use the word Chil as Chil Keyoleda, the trembling or the contractions of a woman in labor. So it's as if things are contracting, going in and out, okay? And also a certain measure of trembling. And we play on that. Yachil Hashem Midbar Kadesh. God makes the Midbar, the desert of Kadesh, which is in the south. So we had the storm beginning in the north, going down the length of Eretz Yisrael all the way to the Negev. You understand? And there the force of it is shaking. Now we have in other places similar descriptions. You know this. Betzet Yisrael, Mimitzrayim, Beit Yaakov, Me'am Lo'ez, Haita Yehuda Lekodesho. Right? When you read it in Hallel, it describes how everything was shaking, everybody was terrified. It was not merely a revelation that hit only the Jews and nobody else heard it. Everybody else was shaking. It seemed like the world was coming to an end. Some horrific, cataclysmic event is about to occur. Some horrible thing, and people were terrified. So we were there, but the sound waves of it all went, and it tells us that everybody else was affected. If you're down in the Negev, in the desert, you will sometimes hear something that sounds like a locomotive getting louder and louder and louder. There are wadis, which are actually riverbeds that are dry. And when there's a storm up north, suddenly it comes crashing at you like a wall of water. And every year you hear about drownings and certainly about animals that were grazing in the wadi suddenly getting awash. And you don't even see it coming. You're just hearing this shaking. And then it comes right at you. The water comes at you. This is a phenomenon that occurs a lot in desert areas, you understand? So there's this wall of water and it's shaking. So whatever it is that happened up north is finally coming down to the south and shaking it all up. Kol Hashem yecholel ayalot. Notice that play. We had Bnei Elim, now we have ayalot. And ayala is an antelope. And if you've ever seen any of those National Geographic films about the migration of those antelopes as they flee, right, and those gazelles, and they go running, or if something scares them, they just go all at once. So what happens here is the sound of God, Yecholel Ayalot. Remember how we use the word Yachil? Now comes Yecholel, and it comes with it with the word Machol. A machol is a dance. So I have a trembling, but I also have a kind of a dance. Or lecholel is also to bring about, to give birth. I told you that the word chil kelo yoreda. In their terror, they drop their youngs. They give birth. That's why it's ayalot, Chazal tell us, and not ayalim. They're running, but they are so terrified that what ends up happening is that they actually birth. And in the process, vayechesof ye'arot. And machsof is an open neckline. Lachsof is to strip bare. He strips forests bare. You can imagine the leaves and the branches being torn. And what you're left with is just the trunks. You understand? The bare, ripped up trunks. If you've been to Washington State, you might have visited Mount St. Helens and seen it after the volcano. Skeleton. It's like skeleton. And you will often have seen it if you had the chance to see some of the films after the major forest fires in Yellowstone. How that's all that was left. And then you see rebirth coming along. Okay? So you've got this scene of devastation of entire forests stripped bare. And what happens after the storm? Ubehechalo. And in his palace. So the question is, where's God's palace? The whole world. Kulo omer kavod. It all says glory. There is, after the storm, there is this incredible calm. And after all that noise, there is a deafening silence. Just all quiet. And then suddenly the sun breaks through, and the clouds clear away, and you've got blue sky. And it looked like the world was coming to an end when it tells us as follows. Hashem Lamabul Yashav. God sat on his throne observing the flood that destroyed the entire earth. But we know, of course, that from there he chose whoever he wanted, right? And promised never to do this again. Vayeshev Hashem Melech Leolam. And since then, God sits on his throne forever. He's still there. He's still watching. He's still taking care. It looks like it's all coming to the end. And instead you have this grand, almost like this sun breaking through, this sense that you're seeing God and his throne. And then comes a prayer, but not necessarily, or an observation. This thing that looked like it was going to shake the earth to its foundation, destroy it all, it's all coming to an end. Instead did what? Hashem Oz le'amoyitem. Remember how you're in the beginning said that kavod va'oz, the honor and the power, the force, was his? And he did what? He gave it over to his people. This was not meant to destroy it all. It was meant to impart us with a special power that he gave it to us. Hence, et matan Torah. We didn't die. We quaked. We were scared. We heard the voice of God. And he gave us this incredible gift, which also empowered and ensured us by his covenant that we would last forever. Hashem yivarech et amo bashalom. And God will ultimately bless his people. They don't have it yet. With peace. This could be a description of virtually any major natural cataclysm. After which, they're the survivors, and they pick it up. And they come out of it stronger. It's clear that this is written by somebody who survived what would have been a traumatic experience. And instead, comes out of it feeling that this has forged a bond between himself and God, who'd shown, in a sense, his face through the forces of nature. And yet at the same time, there is a wish that all of this not occur again, but rather that there is this peace, this ultimate peace. So as Rashi and the Midrash tells us, Rabbi Eliezer HaModa'i tells us, you've got 7 times kol, and 18 times the name of Hashem. And this is what inspired our tefillah, our prayer. And that's why you have 18. Okay? That's why you've got 18 blessings. Ending with peace. And how do they start? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Hence the Bnei Eli. So this is, if you like, the antecedent to the sitter. Okay? And would have probably been something that would have been sung at the Beit HaMikdash, at which point they have called Banot, followed by certain psalms. Okay? And today we don't have called Banot, so we have instead our sitter.